All right, here we are. Another episode of The Stage Dive.
The most underrated tag team finisher in history of wrestling and podcasts.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start off how we always start here with a little Once Upon a Coconut. Got some clean energy today.
I have pineapple.
Which is hydration and electrolytes, is that correct?
Ooh. I need this during the week.
Can you not read it?
Not without my glasses on. You know, old man eyes.
All right. Enough with the old man shit. It's going to take long.
Oh, that wasn't a good one.
All right.
But, yeah.
Cheers to another.
Once upon a coconut.
There we go.
I haven't had a flavor I didn't like.
No, it's all so good. It's all so good.
Yeah.
If I had to pick, my favorite would be the chocolate.
The chocolate.
Then the pineapple.
Yeah.
Yeah, those would be
definitely
my favorites.
The chocolate.
Yeah, the chocolate's like Yoo-hoo.
Outstanding.
It's like Yoo-hoo. All right, let's jump into this. So I'm going to start off a little, kind of like we did last time.
Okay.
Let's start off a little NFL.
Okay.
Like we did before. So I think we're 32, 33 days out before the season actually starts. But tonight is, I believe it's Hall of Fame game. So they put out, and I wanted to get your opinion on this.
Okay.
They put out the quarterback rankings.
Okay.
So I printed out the top 20.
Okay.
So you tell me, like, who do you think, like, start at number one.
Okay.
And who you think the rankings are. And
we're not going to be judgmental because they play on an opposing team.
No. Don't Jalen Hurts because he's on the Eagles.
Right.
And don't rank Dak Dink. Don't rank Prescott number one because you're a Cowboys fan.
Right.
Yeah. Objective. Gotcha. Right. Objective here.
Very much. Okay.
Because then I'll tell you kind of where they are. And there's a reason for this. And it actually goes because of the Eagles.
Okay.
Where they ranked him.
Really?
Which is very shocking. With all that he's done.
Yeah. Super Bowl champ.
Yeah. Been in the Super Bowl, what? Twice? Two, three? Twice? One once? Three times? No. Twice.
No, twice. Yeah.
But MVP, like, outplayed Mahomes that one against the Chiefs. The Chiefs just happened to win. Okay. So, anyway, he's done a lot. So go ahead. Who would you say is number one?
Oh, I thought you were going to read the top 10.
No, I want to see you. I want to get your opinion of who you think like made the top three or four.
My top quarterback, I think, would be Buffalo Bills, Allen.
Okay.
I would go with one with him.
Okay.
Two, I would probably go, this is going to be weird, Mayfield from Tampa, Baker Mayfield. Well, I like him. He's not even on there, is he?
No, he's on. He's in. So what I did, I have the top 20 here. I printed out the top 20.
I put Dak at like 5. I put Jalen at 3.
Well, hold on.
Hurts.
Oh, okay.
Jalen Hurts 3. I would do Mahomes at 4 and Dak at 5.
Okay, so that would be your top 5.
Yeah.
All right, so let me give you those numbers now as ranked here by whoever did this.
Right.
Number one, they have Josh Allen.
Okay.
So you nailed that.
There you go.
Number two, they have Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
You had four.
Oh, four. Okay.
Number three, they have Matt Stafford.
Okay.
MVP last year.
Okay.
I can see it. This one I forgot all about him, Matt. Yeah. This one I question. Number four, they list Joe Burrow.
I would put him at 6 or 7.
I'd say top 10, but I don't know about top 5.
Top 10,
100%. Number 5, they have Lamar.
Oh, I forgot about him, too.
They have Lamar.
Oh.
So you had Baker Mayfield at number 2. They have him at 15.
Okay. I think if Baker Mayfield has a better supporting cast, I think he's 100% accurate.
Well, I mean, that's almost with any quarterback. Yeah. You got to build... Well, we talked about it before. That's my biggest complaint with the Bengals with Burrow is they paid all the money to the wide receivers. They put no money into the offensive line or defense. Like, I wish they would have followed the trade of the Chiefs and the old Patriots because that's what they did.
I think Mahomes is a little bit overrated, a little bit.
Well, that too, and he's coming off injury.
Yeah.
He's coming off ACL.
Yeah.
So and how soon does he play?
Yeah.
When he does play. You don't. Who knows if he's starting the season? So anyway, all right. So your number two is Baker, who's 15. Your number three was Jalen Hurts. They ranked 17th.
What?
17th.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
Now, is that overall, or what they think he's going to be this year going?
It's they ranked.
He lost.
They ranked him this year.
Wide receiver.
They just ranked, I guess, this year going into it. So maybe maybe that comes into play. I mean, that does. So here's their top then. They have Josh Allen, number one.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes, Stafford, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. They have Prescott. Why can't I say his name? Prescott, six.
Prescott.
Justin Herbert from the Chargers, seven.
Ooh, I forgot about him, too.
Drake May is eight now.
I don't even know who he is.
Patriots.
Okay.
Jared Goff is nine. Mm. Caleb Williams is 10. Yeah.
Now he's from the Bears.
The Bears. I mean, he's gotten better.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold with the Seahawks, 11. Jaden Daniels,
who won the Super Bowl last year.
Who won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But again, that's another Super Bowl that was won, what, by defense?
Yes,
and
100%.
I don't even know who won the MVP in that.
Me either.
Jaden Daniels from Washington, who's coming off injury, is 12.
Mm.
Jordan Love at 13, which seems to be low for him.
I think it was high.
You think that's high, 13? Yeah. I figured he'd be.
What has he done?
I figured he'd be closer to around 10-ish, 9, 10. I figured he would have been higher than Caleb Williams. Then you have Brock Purdy from the 49ers at 14, Baker Mayfield at 15, Trevor Lawrence at 16. Again, Jalen Hurts at 17.
That's crazy.
And then you go Bo Nix, Daniel Jones, and C.J. Stroud.
And I can't believe I ranked an Eagle in front of a Cowboy.
I know.
But I was trying to be objective.
No, you got to be. You got to be. You got this. There's a whole point of this. You can't. You can't say, "Oh, Jalen Hurts sucks." I'm putting him 32nd.
Last.
He's last. So speaking of the Colts, what's his name? Jonathan Stewart, I think his last name is. They're running back.
Okay.
They just signed him. This is the largest third contract ever in the NFL for a running back. So it's his third contract that he's getting with the same team. 2 years, $44 million.
A year?
No, total.
Okay.
So it's total, $44 million. Could be up to $47 million. $39 million guaranteed.
Holy shit.
For a running back.
That's crazy.
Right. Because they don't rank quarterbacks. They don't rate running backs like they used to. Like back in the day with Marshall Faulk and those guys.
Tony Dorsett, Emmitt Smith.
Yeah. And I just think fantasy-wise, like those were the running backs. They were always like Marshall Faulk. I remember doing fantasy football. He was always the number one pick.
Yeah.
Because especially in a PPR, point per reception, he caught all kinds of balls out of the backfield.
Yeah.
But he just – that's the largest
– wow, that's crazy.
Third contract for a running back in the history of the NFL. 2 years, $39 million guaranteed. Good for him.
What did he do last year, though?
Had the most touchdowns in the league for a running back.
Did he really?
Yeah.
How did they end up?
Well, they were like 8-2, and then Daniel Jones got hurt, and then they lost every game.
Daniel Jones came over from the Giants, right?
Yes.
That same quarterback that they crashed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, Daniel Jones at one point was last season was being rated as like MVP, one of the best quarterbacks. When Daniel Jones got hurt, they lost every single game after that.
Wow.
So, I mean, technically, I guess he should have been MVP.
Yeah, right. He just proved it.
Right. It was kind of like, I remember 1 year, who was it? Was it Peyton Manning? I think got hurt, and they went from like almost being in the Super Bowl, and he got hurt, and then they sucked.
Is that where he played for the Colts?
Yeah, I was like, right down in there, that proves that he should have been MVP, even without playing.
Yeah.
He should have been MVP.
Yeah, it's a hell of a point.
Yeah, so anyway, so tonight starts preseason, and then I think it's 32, 33 days until the regular season starts.
I hate preseason.
Yeah, no one likes preseason. Yeah. The only people who like preseason are the people who want to sit on the couch and do nothing and watch football, and everyone else and their spouse hates their wife hates football, and that's the reason to be able to sit there and watch it.
Oh, do something she hates.
All right, so that's
there
gone.
We go. All right.
So the other thing I wanted to talk about, because we've had a run-in with this,
okay,
the last couple of months,
okay,
is before we get into our SummerSlam weekend highlights.
It's great because he never tells me what he's going to say.
Well, I told you to think of your highlights from this weekend.
But that's it.
Locker room etiquette.
Okay.
So we had a couple of issues. I mean, say, all right, I don't know if it's so much locker room, in-ring, whatever it is, just etiquette overall, I guess.
In wrestling.
So we had, and I'm not going to mention where this happened, okay, or it is, but you'll remember. So we're at the gimmick table at a show, and two guys were going to work the next day come up.
Yes.
They come up. What they did was we're at the gimmick table before the show on, say, the show was happening on a Saturday.
Right.
They come up and they're like, "Hey, you know, we're working you guys tomorrow." And we were like, "Great, we have a line of people behind you. Get the fuck out of line unless you want a picture. Are you in line for?" Because we thought they were fans. Are you in line for a picture? Because the one guy was like this big.
Yes. Totally gives it away.
and then later on that night, we're leaving, and as we walked by them, we're like, "Oh, well, guess we'll see you tomorrow." And like pushed me in the back.
Yes.
So
this is in the back, not in front of fans.
Not in front of, well, the gimmick table was in front of fans because we had fans aligned.
Well, we were leaving.
Well, we were leaving.
Oh, we were outside.
Well, we were in the arena, but they were breaking the ring down, so there were no fans.
Correct.
But coming up to, could you?
No, never.
I couldn't imagine.
You're at a loss for words.
Well, because I'm trying to figure out how to word it properly. I can't imagine. First starting, we're in Memphis.
Yes.
First time we've really sold gimmicks. I mean, we sold Silly String and stuff like that at the Monster Factory. All right, we can stay with the Monster Factory. We're at the Monster Factory. Jerry Lawler's there. Abby's there. They're at their gimmick table. Could you imagine walking up to their gimmick table in front of their people and saying, "Hey, we're working tomorrow.
Never.
Look forward to beating you," or whatever they said to us?
Working with you.
Well, they were like, "Oh, if you guys win the belt tonight, then we get a title shot tomorrow against you." Like, dude, do me a favor, shut the fuck up and walk away. And then walking away, "Hey, we'll see you tomorrow for our title shot," and push one of them in the back like they did to me?
Never.
Like, how?
Never. It was, so we were taught, close your mouth, open your ears when you're in the locker room, when you're around veterans and stuff like that. That is severely lost today.
Big time.
Big time. Now, there is probably about 20% of the locker room that does do that. And that comes up and will ask us to watch a match. It's not all.
It's not everyone. Yes.
I don't want to portray that to anyone.
Right.
There is some people that are still brought up in the wrestling business that do honor that and respect that.
Right.
There's maybe 2% of people that'll come up and ask us to watch a match.
Yeah, it's a small percentage of people that act like that and don't have the proper etiquette in the locker room. But it's like they say, one bad apple ruins the whole bag. Right. So it's kind of the same thing. It gives you that. And for us, people ask us, "Why are we retiring from in-ring action?" Well, that's one of the reasons.
Right.
Which brings me to my next thing. If you're in the locker room and you're going over a match.
Yes.
And you call a simple spot of, simple. And again, I'm still getting over my arm. Your arm. It's better, but it's not 100%.
And we signify it by putting the sleeve on, say, "Hey, stay away from this arm.
Don't touch this arm."
Yep. We let them know well beforehand.
And this is what's going to happen.
Yes.
Lock up. I will take your arm. I will give you a couple kicks. Put you on the middle rope, hit you with a bouncy, bouncy thing, and then I tag out.
Technical terms.
Yes, I don't have...
Bouncy, bouncy.
I don't have whisper in the wind and whatever all that other shit is.
La coup de grace.
Yes. And when this person comes in, just wants to bum rush me, and I'm holding my hand up going, "Slow down.
Wait a second.
What are you doing? What's the rush here?" And then I go to the crowd in the corner, and then I get bum rushed.
Yes.
And then he wants to wonder why he gets a backhand fist to the mouth.
It was a straight up pimp slap.
It was. Listen, I had to defend myself.
I was on the outside looking in, and I saw it, and I went, "Oh yeah, that dude fucked up."
And then I had to take him over to the ropes for the bouncy bouncy thing.
Yes.
And all I heard was because someone couldn't breathe.
Sometimes you just have to.
But I guess the funniest part of that whole thing is in the back when I was like, "Dude, what happened?" And he goes, "Well, what I did is how I envisioned it." I go, "So us saying we're going to lock up, I'm going to take your arm, I'm going to give you a couple kicks, and I'm going to take you over and put you on the ropes.
Was not what he envisioned.
That was your envision of bum rushing me, was your envision that you got out of that?
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to...
I remember, because it was like talking to somebody that wasn't listening.
Yes, yes.
And that makes it hard, too.
Yes. And now I'm going to go back to, could you ever have imagined... I mean, I punched Papa in the locker room pretty fucking hard.
Yeah.
And he was like, all right, we're going to do kicks. Could you imagine me getting in a ring instead of throwing kicks and punching him? And
punching him?
What would have happened to me?
Oh, no, you would have been dead.
I wouldn't be here right now. I'd have a broken neck.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. So I just
especially back then.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yep. I just don't understand
the logic,
and then
or lack thereof,
the lack thereof, or what people are thinking.
Yeah, agree.
When it comes to that, because again, I wrote down some stuff here like that you taught me when I first started. The biggest thing was you walk the locker room, shake hands, everybody, and introduce yourself to everybody,
and don't do that little finger shake.
Yeah, not this.
Right.
Not this.
Not that.
Shake my fucking hand. Like shaking my fucking hand.
But you don't squeeze it like you're trying to kill somebody. It's snug.
Right. It's just... It's snug. It's just... It's a handshake.
Yes.
It's a handshake if you're out with someone and you meet someone's father.
Right.
Are you going to go up and go like this? No. No, you're meeting your girlfriend's dad. Right. Oh, hey, nice to meet you. Yeah, I'm gay. Like you're...
What the hell?
Yeah, I'm gay.
Right. But it's like a hand hug. That's it. Soft, gentle... Hand hug.
Okay, you can call it a hand hug. I'm calling it. You're meeting your future father-in-law. Yeah. Just shake the hand like a man, like you got to say.
Yes.
And if you're a girl, shake my hand.
Yes.
I want that firm handshake from a girl as well.
Yes.
I want that as well.
And we still do that to this day.
Yes.
Like if we come into the locker room and there's people in there, we'll still go around and say hi to everybody, introduce ourselves and stuff like that. We're not bigger than anyone else in that locker room just because of what we've done.
Well, the other side of that, too, it's not our locker room anymore. We're guests in everyone else's locker room.
So this is going to lead me into saying something in the video I saw, but keep going.
I mean, even the introducing yourself thing, like if we're in there, if someone comes in and they don't walk, now we're already there.
Yeah.
We've already done our rounds.
Yep.
If someone new comes in and I don't see them do that or they don't come over and say hi to us, they go down.
Yes.
And I do that now, like at the office. If a new person comes in,
you want that into real life.
It's real life. If a new person comes in, doesn't introduce myself, I'm like, fuck them. Yeah. Who are they?
I just think it's common courtesy. And you would assume that it's just.
At the same time, at the office,
would know.
At the same time, at the office, I'm kind of an asshole. So I don't really want to talk to people anywhere. So it's fine. But so that's one. The other one you already brought up, being coachable.
Yep.
And asking for advice. And the other thing is, when you do ask for advice and they give you the advice, say thank you, even if you don't use it. And don't sit there and go, but.
Right.
As soon as they start that, but, I don't want to hear. I'm done talking to you.
Yes.
I'm done talking. I don't want
to. 100%. I think that's the thing. Because, yes, you go up to the PC a lot and everything else, and I think that's the one thing that stops me from wanting to do that, but I hear all the experiences that you have with the kids up there and how coachable they are, so it might be different up there. But I just know that the people that we find on the indies are very hard to coach, and that irritates me because I remember what it was like wanting to be coached. I wanted Abdullah. I wanted... you know, Jerry Lawler and Jim Cornette to give me pointers and say things and stuff like that. Hell, when we came back in 2011, we went up to Cornette and go, hey, could you do us a favor and watch this match and give us your honest opinion? Because we knew that's what he was going to do.
That's what he was going to give us.
Because that's how Cornette
is. Cornette.
If you don't want to know the answer, don't ask him the question.
Right.
Whether you like it or not. So, I mean, still to this day, we do that.
Yeah, so it's funny you mentioned, so the environment they've built at the PC is just so different than the culture they've done. Like, I go down to CCW. I go down there once a week. And I sit in there and I look, and it's, again, it's nothing against them because they don't know.
Right.
I mean, everyone comes up and says hi.
Yeah.
Everyone comes up. Gangrel's, I think he's the head coach down there, even though he's back and forth to Rusev School in Nashville, he's back and forth. But everyone comes up and says hi. As soon as I walk in, like, it's like the place stops and everyone comes up, which is great. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But there was one guy, and I actually wrote it down. We were working on, like, arm bars. They were working on, like, locking up and going to arm bar. So they had, you've been in school, you've seen the size of it. So mm-hmm. they had people in the ring and people working on, like, lock up, stuff like mm-hmm. that on the floor. So the guys in the ring were doing bumps and rolls and stuff like that. So I went onto the floor and I was walking around. One of the guys locks up with me and I take his arm and he tries, like, he's trying to be funny, but being an asshole at the same time. And I literally looked at him and he, like, yanked my arm. And I go, what are you doing? I'm like, is that what we're working on here? He's like, oh, well, I'm just trying to be. I go, you're trying to be funny with me? Because I'm like, I will beat your fucking ass. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'll punch you in the face right here. Like, I don't care. It's like, I just couldn't imagine. And I kind of had that joke with different but same. Like, I had that joke with Robert Gibson, and the next night in the ring, he bit me.
Yes.
Different. Because of what I did, and I guess I can tell that story, but literally locked up and, like, I had his arm and he, like, starts, like, pulling and trugging. And I'm like, what are you doing? We're working on, like, a thing here. And then yeah. you're going to act like an asshole. And I called him out about being an asshole right there. I'm like, don't come over. Don't talk to me. Don't say hi to me. Whenever I come here, just act like I'm not here. I'm like, I don't want to deal with you. Right. It makes me not want to deal with them.
100%.
Yeah. So for those of you out there listening, watching, whatever you're doing, the story with Robert is we're working him and Ricky
in Smoky Mountain,
yep. and they were getting a little bit of steam on me at the beginning, and we got in the back, and they said to me, hey, we were kicking you, and you weren't, like, selling it at all. And I went, well, I didn't feel it. And, like, what do you mean you didn't feel it? And I go, well, my head was down, like, and I didn't feel it. Like, how am I supposed to sell when I'm not looking, when right. I don't feel? Because right. You and I are snug workers.
Yes.
You're going to feel, we're not going to hurt you, but you're going to feel.
You're going to know where to sell.
Right. And I said, no problem, Chaz. No big deal. We understand. Thank you. Thanks. The next night we get in the ring and I go to lock up with Robert. And what do you do?
Punch you right in the nose.
Right in the nose. And I was like, fuck. I was like, what the hell was that? And he goes, did you feel that, kid? And I went, lesson learned.
Yes, sir.
And I learned from it. That yes. made me go peripheral vision.
Keep my eyes open.
Ring awareness. Yeah. I had to know. Like, I learned from that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So,
it's again. Funny because to this day, you still tell Robert about that.
Oh, story, yeah.
And he remembers it.
Oh, yeah.
That's how funny it was.
Yeah, he comes up to me and he just bips 100%, me now.
Yeah.
Now he just bips me for the hell of it. Yes.
That's so funny.
So, yeah. So, you know, be coachable. And we've done it all the time. People give us advice. We would soak it in. We would talk about it on a drive and say, yeah. We don't think that would work for us. Maybe we can do it this way. And it was like, Cornette, here's a tape.
Yeah.
Go watch this tape. Whatever you see on this tape, make it your own. Yeah. And it was all rock and roll and Midnight yeah. Express stuff, which was yeah. amazing. So be coachable. And if you don't like it, don't tell us you don't like it. Just walk away and don't yeah. use it. No big right. deal.
Just be open to it.
Right. And then the biggest thing is, and we do this all the time also, is thank the promoter when you leave. And then you got production referees and the crew that set up the ring. And we say this all the time. We get everyone involved somehow.
Somehow,
we try to yep. get everyone involved because they're all part of the team. And without them, we can't do what we do.
Right.
So thank everybody.
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
So those are my kind of things. What was that one thing you wanted to add?
So it was disturbing, and it really took me back. I was watching a video, and it was – I don't want to say who it was because, you know, I don't think he deserves it yet. But if I see another one, then I'm going to call him out. I see a video. There's kids at the airport. You remember what this was like and everything else. And this main event guy from SummerSlam, kind of narrows it down some, was taking a picture with an airport person, female. So then the dad is with the little kid. There's a bunch of kids there. He goes, go up to him and ask him for an autograph. Call him, sir. Be very kind and everything else. And the guy, the wrestler, went, I don't have time, and walked away from a kid. He had to be 11, maybe younger. And I really felt the kid watched him take a picture with the airport person. Right. Wasn't a security, wasn't TSA, wasn't anything like that. It was somebody that just works at the counter and stuff like that with tickets and stuff. But he took time to take a picture with that person, female, but didn't take time for that 10-year-old kid that, for one, is going to get their parents to buy your merchandise,
right.
your figures, and stuff like that. That airport person isn't buying your stuff. It's just because they know you were a wrestler. And, you know, we experienced that a lot when we were doing it back in our day. And we always took time. We never said no. Because that's not... because, again, without the fans, there's no superstars.
Right.
There's no movie stars. There's no entertainment people at all. Because without the fans, they wouldn't be buying your ticket to go see your movie, your merchandise, or whatever. Then you're not a star.
Right.
You're not a celebrity. So it was really recently called up to the roster. I was very taken back by it because I didn't think this person would do that. So for everybody out there, take the time for the fans. I mean, because without them, without everybody else, ring announcers, referees, promoters, you wouldn't be able to have the platform to do what you do.
Right. So. And if you're going to focus on anyone, we do it all the time. We say it all the time. We focus on the kids. We're at the gimmick table, like WrestleCon this past weekend. Yes. Kids are walking by. We lure the kids over to the table. We interact with the kids because then the kids look up at the parents and go, I don't know who these guys are, but they're fun and cool, and I want a picture with them.
And, I want their action figure.
And now I have these cheesy little bracelets that I have, those little rubber bracelets, and we throw them out to the kids as they're walking by, and the kids come over.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you interact with the kids, and that makes me sad because I kind of think I know who you may be talking to just by off of what you said.
Yes.
And I
was shocked.
And surprises me.
Yes, me too.
If it's who I think it is, now that the way you worded that without saying who it was, wow.
Yes. And then I saw other main eventers, same airport, take all the time in the world with people. It was Rey Mysterio was walking through. He stopped and signed every single person there and even said, does anybody else need a picture?
Right.
It was a true professional thing to do because I'm sure Rey realizes without those people, he's not who he is.
He's been around long enough to know and understand and appreciate and be grateful for that, which I know we want to jump into SummerSlam weekend. I told you your highlights, but based on that story and what you're talking about, because one of the ones for me was the Hardys.
Yeah.
We're standing at our gimmick table, and Kayfabe Toys brought us in.
Yep.
And there was a set of...
Great group.
Check
them out.
There was a set of the Hardys figures of the WSW, which we have also.
Yep.
And then I have Demolition and Powers of Pain. They signed them. So I grabbed it, and I said to the guy, I go, I'm taking these. And I'm getting it signed. And I took the price tag off and I went down Saturday. And when I went down, they were like, we got to go do a photo op. Like, we'll be back in a minute. And I'm like, they're not coming back.
You're not
in
coming
a
minute. Back in a minute.
It was like an hour later. So I went back to the table. But then I went back. Their line is ridiculous every single time, every single event they do. And they stay for hours.
For everyone.
They will stay.
They've
missed flights and changed flights because the line was wrong. But then I realized, I'm like, I still don't, again, long line. It still baffled me why they were there so long. And then I realized it when I watched.
How long Jeff signs?
Both of them. Well, as Jeff signing, their autographs are art.
Yes.
Like what Jeff did on mine, different colors and the whatever. Like, if I didn't see Jeff do it, I wouldn't even know that was Jeff Hardy.
Right.
But it's just him, the way they signed it. But they spend the time, like Jeff, someone had a chair, a metal chair for Jeff's, and the seat of the chair, Jeff drew art on the entire fucking seat of the chair.
Yeah, it's incredible what they do.
But the time, my whole point is the time they spend with the fans and the kids.
It's meaningful.
It's very meaningful. For the fans, it's meaningful for Matt and Jeff.
Yep.
But the other side of it too is now I realize why their lines are so long because they'll spend 5 to 10 minutes with a person,
which is
amazing.
Yes,
which is amazing. We do the same thing. If someone comes up, we'll talk to them as long as they want to talk, unless they're stinky and sweaty and smell
and annoying.
but we have a good. Everyone has. I think the point I'm trying to get across is. Everyone who goes up to the Hardys has that memorable experience. And I think everyone who comes up with us, whether we're busting their balls, giving them a hard time, or we're laughing, or joking, it's the same thing. You want to make it memorable because they're always going to remember that. And I relate it back to my Pete Rose, Mike Tyson story. I don't want anyone to ever have, and I'm not going to get into story now, I don't want anyone to ever have...
The Mike Tyson story is not bad.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, I don't want anyone to ever have a Pete Rose experience with me. I want everyone to have that Mike Tyson experience with me. Right. That's how I think about it. All right, so So with that being said, let's jump into SummerSlam. So SummerSlam, we had WrestleCon.
Yeah,
Awesome. WrestleCon.
It was a little different because being on two floors.
Yeah, that was kind of
felt separated from the other, our other people that we wanted to see. It kind of made it hard to see everybody. So.
And if you didn't know there was two floors, it was like we didn't really realize at first. Because remember, we thought Matt and Jeff were going to be across from us at that empty table. But they weren't. You had to go upstairs and you had to wait in an elevator. And you had to wait 5-10 minutes for the elevator because it was so packed. For me, I'm just going to focus on the one negative I thought. And this is just all of them at this point. There's so much talent there now.
There is.
They kind of get oversaturated because... People want to see it. Like, how many people do we have come to? Oh, my God. Like, I ran out of money. I would love to have seen you guys take a picture with you, buy a shirt or something.
But again, they also see the lineup before they get there.
Yes.
So they could designate.
True. The other side of it.
They just have to be better on their spending.
Right. The other side of it is when you had, so you had Matt and Jeff there, whose line is hours long.
Yep.
Sting was there.
Yep.
Whose line was hours long.
Who had a private room.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we had DDP next to us.
Yep. Which was great.
It was great, except he had a giant line that walked that went in front of our table.
Nobody saw us.
So he could have put him at the end, but it's the lines, and I don't know any way. I don't know how to fix that. You can't fix it.
I don't think so.
Because then people stand in those lines for so long. They're standing in line for 2 or 3 hours, and then they get because those conventions are only 3 or 4 hours long. It's not like they're
4 hours.
But I mean, either way, for us, I think we always do. I say the same. We're always kind of steady.
Yeah.
So it's always fine.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
All right. So I'm gonna hear your highlights. Go ahead.
The one thing that I would love to see, and we've talked about this before, I would love to see how they have everybody in aisles. Like they have aisles of guys. I would love one time, just one convention, to see an aisle of guys from ECW, from the Attitude Era, from Ruthless Aggression Era. You know, just lined up like that. Could you imagine that? I think that would be cool.
It would be cool.
It might not be cool for the fans, but it would be cool for us.
Right. It's cool for us because the best part of the conventions for us is seeing everybody.
But one of the highlights that I took from this weekend is...
Or another thing that would be cool also, sorry, just staying on the theme side, is all tag teams.
Oh, yeah.
Put us in a row with Matt and Jeff way down here, but... Matt and Jeff down here, their line has to come past us when they leave.
Right.
With, you know, Matt and Jeff, us, balls. APA.
Yeah.
If the Dudleys are there, you got Demolition, Powers of Pain.
Yeah.
You know, and I have noticed they've done it twice now. They did it when we went up to Ottawa. We went up there. They had Tito and Rick Martel next to one another as singles, but then you still had Strikeforce. They did it this past weekend also. That would be cool too.
Yeah. It's still... To me, it's still so very cool to see, like, Demolition. They're like,
hey, guys, 100%.
They get up and they hug you. Like, they sit down for most of their signings. But once they see, like, I noticed when they saw us and stuff like that, they stood up, they gave us hugs, and they were like, how are you? How was your trip in?
Warlord and Barbarian do the same thing. Yes.
And they don't have to do that.
No.
They do that. It just... It warms me because, you know, we were such fans of theirs. And then I had a chance to meet Mr. Gagne from the old AWA.
Greg Gagne.
Yeah, which was
amazing. Steve Carino's favorite person.
He still looks like he could whip somebody's ass.
Yeah.
Still to this day. First time I ever met him, I just said, hi, how are you, sir, or stuff like that. But it was so cool just to talk for that 5 seconds with him and stuff like that. I thought that was cool.
So stick with Demolition for a second. The cool thing for me, like with Demolition, because we've become friends.
Yes.
And like holidays and stuff like that, like I get a text from him now, yeah. and I think it's pretty cool. I'm like, he just fucking texted me Merry Christmas or whatever. But the other side of it was like Vegas for WrestleCon. My friend Tim was there. Wow. And he was like, I've walked around. The only one I want to meet is Demolition, but they're lying so long. As soon as you walk up to the table, they stop the line and they go, hey, and you get whatever you want.
Right.
And I was fortunate enough to be able to do it for Carino because Steve was like, hey, I want to go up to Demolition, but I'm not sure because, you know, Beck. Beck won. It wasn't Steve. It was Beck, his son. I went up to them. I go, listen, I said, you guys know Steve Carino? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like,
of course.
He's here with his son. He doesn't want to come up. And they're like, no, bring him. And they did the same thing. They stood up. They said hi to him. They signed the 18 spots in his wrestle encyclopedia that he wanted signed.
Yeah.
And then they were walked. They were like, Steve was like, thank you so much. I'm so great. They're like, hey, why don't we take a picture too? And Steve was like, huh? Like they said to Steve, yeah. let's take a picture together.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's they're the two cool of the, part. It,
such great guys.
It's just overall awesome.
It's if I had to pick two guys that young people should try to pattern their attitudes after would be those two.
The professionalism.
Yes, the professionalism. Yes, 100%.
Agreed.
Because they're like that no matter who you are.
Right.
I mean, with their fans. I've seen them interact with their fans.
Yeah.
They're respectful. I think because they know without them, there's no demolition.
There's no.
So.
All right, so go ahead.
So some takeaways as my fan point of view, I absolutely.
Are you sticking with WrestleCon? Or are you moving on to the matches?
The matches.
Okay.
The fan point of view. Like, as a fan, I loved Nick's match, Aldis. I love that. I love the meaning behind it. It told such a good story. It was such a old school type of wrestling match and everything else. And did you know that Gunther is only the third person to wrestle 2 days on a major pay-per-view?
I didn't know
Cody
that.
Cody and Seth did it.
Right.
That one WrestleMania. Because if they won
right.
a tag team match, they went on the next night for their individuals. And then Gunther this past weekend.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
And the talk all along was Oba doing that.
Yeah.
It was possibly Oba doing that.
So, see, I did some research.
Are you done with that. Nick? Hold on. Are you done with Nick?
Yeah.
All right. So, Nick, to me, was a highlight as well.
Yes.
For a couple of reasons. One was I talked to Mickey James at WrestleCon.
WrestleCon,
yeah. And after I got my fan crush picture with her.
Because it's funny, when he sees her, he loses all
I'm better words. Now. I can talk now. Well, before now, I couldn't talk.
But before he'd be...
Listen,
it was great.
I'm not going to deny it. and F you, Devon, for making it worse. so I talked to her about it, and she was telling me, I'm like, how excited are you? Like, how excited is Nick? She's like, oh, my God. She goes, he's so excited. I'm so happy for him.
I couldn't imagine how excited he was.
Yeah, and, you know, we were going on about how excited it was, and, you know, he's been working his ass off because he knew for a month ago it was going to happen.
Yeah.
So, like, he was working his ass off, and I'm like, he's in great shape anyway. But, you know, being in shape and being in ring shape are two separate things. So that was a highlight for me. But Mickey and their son coming in afterwards hit the heartstrings.
Yes.
Like, it's like one of those teary-eyed moments gone, knowing, and I, the only experience I've had with that was Tyler when we wrestled in Orlando, when he came in and did our ring announcement. And literally, I almost filled up with tears.
Because it was funny. It was great.
Yeah, so to me, like, my highlights aren't really the matches. Right. It was the moments.
There were
a lot of moments at SummerSlam.
Gable on night two, his moment.
Right.
Was like, because I just rewatched it today before I got here.
I think this is going to go out. Go ahead.
And his moment, like, I rewatched it. And, like, I rewatched the whole match. I wished that match would have been another 10 minutes longer because it was that good. I felt it was that good.
But it was that good because of the time limit. If it goes longer, you could have been like, oh my God, it was a little too long.
It could have been. But that moment with him, the fans, he's from there, his family, his little son dressed like him.
That was awesome.
Awesome.
Yes.
Just to see
they had matching outfits, which was awesome.
And then the other one that I really liked night two better than one. And I think a lot of people felt that way. I love the Chelsea Green thing. We both called that.
Well,
winning the belt.
The Chelsea thing was great.
Yes.
I love how they did it.
Yes.
Because It was almost like she lay dead hanging from the ladder.
Yeah.
Because you saw it and you're like, you're watching it, and I'm like,
no idea.
Well, what I liked about it, and I talked about it yesterday, was how fast she climbed. Everyone else does the slow climb.
Slow crawl.
She, when she had her opportunities, it was like she told everyone, you better pull me down because I'm going as fast as I can. And she took off up that ladder and they yanked her back down. And then when she was upside down and just hanging there, I thought it was funny. So I'm like, is she going to lay dead? Is someone going to go up the other side? Like, is she going to interact that way? But it was like things calm down. And we talk about beats and moments. Like, there's a couple of beats. It was like, all right, what's going to happen? And then you saw her face. You saw her face light up, and she was like, here we go. And she sprints up to the top. I get goosebumps.
Yeah.
She sprints up to the top of the ladder, swings her leg, sits down, and pulls it down.
It was almost the same way that Matt did it when he won the IC belt.
Yes. So
similar.
Yeah. But for me, I'm trying to imagine, we've wrestled in front of big crowds.
Yeah.
But not like that.
No.
Being up on the ladder, and I'm sure this is what she was doing, because you always hope, like, they take a moment to soak it in.
Yeah.
To be up on that ladder 20 feet in the air and looking out at that place, which was electric. The atmosphere is unbelievable. And looking all around, it was just like such a cool moment.
Yeah.
I think so. For part of me was, I wanted her to win just because she's Chelsea and she's great. We know her, and she's amazing, and she deserves it.
Yeah.
But the other side of me wanted to see Matt walk around with the belt, saying that he's half of the women's champion. Of course he is.
Oh yeah.
He made a comment yesterday with Sam Roberts on the Not Sam Show on WWE Radio. He made a comment going, if I was still on indies, I would have booked myself somewhere on a Monday indie show, and I would have walked out with that belt at the indie show as half of the women's
champion.
100%. He would have had an outfit set and everything.
Yes.
I thought it would have been cool if WWE let him get into the ring with his wife, because he's climb that other ladder next to them and sit up there with her. But either way, it was an amazing, amazing moment for Chelsea. Yes. Love it.
They were my three highlights that I took from that weekend.
Okay.
And I did, it was weird because night one, I loved Liv's match with Io.
Right.
And I'm not a huge fan of Io's, like with her work-wise and stuff like that. But I thought that match, Liv brought out the best of her. And I thought it was really good.
And it was opening match for a reason.
Yes.
That was the reason. You got everyone going. And
it sure did do that.
Yeah, yeah. So my highlights are Brock passing the torch to Oba.
That was cool.
I thought it was cool how they did it with him doing the Taker spot that Taker did with him by ripping
the
canvas up, ripping the padding up, the hard floor. I just don't know how he did a tombstone with no knee pads on the boards.
On the boards.
I don't understand how anyone does not wear knee pads at this point, because you're landing on your knees. That ring still hurts. The other side
everybody saw is the plywood and it's that much foam.
That's what I was just going to say. Everyone saw the 2x4s. They saw that little bit of foam and the canvas. Yeah. And I was like, that's amazing. Everyone now sees what the ring is. Yeah. They see what we're bumping on. It's not a big, soft cushion trampoline.
Yeah. I'd rather fall on some patches of grass.
But no, knee pads doing that. And then, so I thought that, like, and again, I'm going with moments.
Yeah.
So you got the moment Oba passed on as Taker, passed on to him. He passed on the same way to Oba.
Yeah.
And then he left and then came back down to do the, I'm the past, you're the future, peace out, I'm gone.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you think he was supposed to do that? Or do you think that was Brock being Brock?
I don't know.
I kind of think it was Brock being Brock.
Could have been.
Can see him doing that.
Because he got it was real different. Brock. It wasn't character Brock. It was real 100%. Brock.
Yep.
His voice was different.
Yes.
He was calmer when he did it.
Yep. That's why I'm saying I think he did that on his own.
He stuck the handshake out and then turned it into a hug. It was it was totally different.
It was cool.
It was awesome.
It was a great moment.
It was a great moment.
Yeah.
Seth and Roman. The match was good.
I think it was good.
The match told what I liked about the match, it told their entire 14-year history story.
Together, yes.
The other side of it that I liked is how many other feuds
yep.
have a closing. Now, hear me out.
Okay.
You have a 14-year history just on the main roster. We're not even going to talk about
before
NXT.
Yeah.
So they come in together. They split up. They have these little feuds. You know, they go their separate ways, but they're always intertwining with one another somehow. And now they have the closure of the entire 14-year story. Never seen it before. Guys don't last in the same company for 14 years
no.
straight right. like that. Like, Cody's been around a long time, but he left for a few years.
Yes.
Punk's been around for a long time, but he left for a couple
years.
And even you think back, like, to me, I think back because I started watching probably like 84, 85 when Hogan started taking off. There's no stories like that that I can think of in the history of wrestling. Two right. guys coming in together, splitting up, but for 14 years are intertwined together and then have that final match at the end of it, throw the shield down, the face mask down, which was either a simulation of shield or maybe that was Dean, his way of putting Dean Ambrose good. In there.
Yeah.
And with the fist thing and kind of looking at each other and going.
Now, do you think that's going to be the last one?
I kind of between don't. Them two?
Yeah.
I think it's the last between the two of them. But what I could see happening is, let's say Seth gets in trouble and needs help with something. Roman coming in and then maybe having little tags here and there.
See, I don't think it'll be the last one because that's the first time that Roman's ever beat Seth.
Right. That closes the story, though.
Does it?
It does.
For Roman?
For both of them.
How? How does it close it for Seth?
Because there's just closure in the whole thing, which is Seth doing the hand thing and throwing the mask down. Mm. That was it. But because the story of before of them breaking up was Seth hitting him with the chair.
Right.
That's why because Roman
felt second.
That's why Roman didn't want to use the chair. That's why Roman didn't let the bloodline come out. Right. Roman, and that's why in the interaction with them saying, listen, you've always been number two. I've always been number one. It's always been you and me. I'm not bringing the bloodline into this during the match. Like that was the right. conversation.
But do you think Seth doesn't feel like that more so now? Because he lost?
No, I think it's
or do
just,
you think he just accepts, okay, I'm number two?
I don't think he so much accepts that he's number two. I think he just accepts that the story's over. I really think Seth is closer to the end.
Really?
I think Seth thinks this way. Because Seth says it in interviews now. He's like, he said it, he said this whole huh. thing. We're not gonna have much time. Both of our times are coming to an end.
Yes.
I think Seth's time, whenever his contract's up. I don't think he...
With the amount of injuries.
I don't think he renews as a full-time guy. Maybe he does backstage stuff.
And he comes out like part-time-ish?
Here and there. But I think he does more backstage. And I think Becky's the same way. I think both of them in the next... I think
I didn't even look at it like that.
I think the two of them in the next couple of years are kind of... I think they're going to come in. I think Seth's role now is going to do kind of what Brock did. Put me with one of these newer guys. Put him with a Trick Williams or a Javon. Let him teach them how to get better. You have the veteran. You have the new guy coming up. Put him with them. Help them get to another level.
I think
that's what Seth does now, and I think Becky's going to do the same thing.
Huh. That's interesting. I didn't even think of it.
Especially after Raw, when Becky went out and got in Liv's face. I don't know if you saw Raw.
I did see that part, yeah.
Becky came out, and I was like, oh, this is so hot. I mean, this is so great. What a great angle. And then Stephanie Vaquera came back, and yes. I was like, whoa, this is even better. This got even hotter. I mean, better.
What the hell?
Yeah, I think both of them are in that role of we're just going to help get everyone to a new level right now. Yeah. And I think with Trick and Penta both losing their belts.
Did you really come together?
No. Who, Trick and Penta?
Yeah, why not?
No, I think it's going to elevate them to start going for because they have to start elevating these guys up because you only have four or five guys.
Correct.
So it's going to elevate them. Like, okay, they've been champs for so long. They've been so long. Okay, they dropped the belts. I think they go into like a Money in the Bank match, and they start moving, getting elevated that way.
I could see that more with Trick. I don't know with Penta. I don't see him as a heavyweight champ. I can see Trick as a heavyweight champ because of his personality, his demeanor, the way he carries himself, and
right.
stuff like that. I don't. Maybe it's the Lucha thing with me with Penta.
The language barrier.
Yeah, being a heavyweight champ, you should be able to, you know, speak. And I don't know. I can see that with Trick.
Just hope 100%. This, staying with Trick for a second.
Who I actually loved, his match with Baron Corbin, I thought was decent.
It was a good match.
Yeah.
I just hope now with what the way to finish happened, he's done with Little Yachty. We don't need Little Yachty anymore.
Yeah,
he doesn't need him. He doesn't. I realized it was WrestleMania. They brought him out and all that stuff, and they've kept him around.
Yeah.
But he doesn't need him. Get rid of him. Let him go. I'm hoping that closes that loop.
Yeah, I get that.
So Punk and Cody, again.
I thought it was a great match. I thought it was good.
But you know what it reminded me of? Bret Hart and Razor. I think it was SummerSlam, like 92, something like that, 92, where they worked each other.
Yeah.
And one of them worked an arm and one of them worked a leg.
Yep.
Same story. But what I liked about it was Randy coming in. And I think I said this to you afterwards. I think it would have been better if Randy lifted him up and looked at him in the eyes and went, hi. And then boom, and hit then, the RKO. Yeah. Like, it just would have been a moment. Stood up and then did the wink.
The wink that he gave, it was so classic.
I just think it would have been great if they had the camera on Cody's face.
It was good.
And then his eyes going, oh shit, as Randy waves to him and then hits him with the gimmick, the RKO. I thought that would have been cool. But again, story closed with Punk and Cody. Now let Cody and Randy go.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting because since Cody's come back, his entire time back has been about chasing the belt, having the belt. It's going to be interesting to see how it is with him now just working Orton with no belt. But again, there's a lot of history with them that they can close. Not the same history with Seth and Roman because they came in together, even though Randy kind of mentored Cody when he first came in and Cody took care of Randy when he had his issues and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So all these years later, that'll be another story that they
personal
can close
story. Yeah, yeah.
Over, again, a decade, however long was of time.
Speaking of that, the huge, I almost forgot this. We've talked about this. When was Kevin Owens coming back?
I got him right here.
Lead into that. That was huge. Do I think he should have won number one contender?
I don't think so either.
I don't. I think it might have been too soon. Let him. I like the story that they're going to do with him and Sammy because he beat Sammy and it's poor Sammy kind of thing. I think that falls more into.
I think Sammy needs a new shirt that says "Justice for the Last Real Good Guy," not just "Justice for Sammy."
Yeah,
"Justice for the." I think he needs to stick with the last real good guy.
Yeah, and
that whole thing. I'm a good guy. I'm a guy. I keep getting screwed. I'm a good guy.
Yeah.
I'm the last real good guy here. Why do you keep screwing me over?
Yeah. I was so glad to see him. His music hit, and I went, "Holy shit!"
And what I liked about it was, and he talked about it afterwards. Everyone was like, "Doctors were in family and." It was like, be careful, be careful. He's like, I'm not being careful. I will never be careful. I'm going to come out here.
It's not Kevin. Right. Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of someone being off for a year and a half and coming back in. And I realize it's a storyline. Yes. Him and Punk have history.
Yep.
So that'll feed into that. It feeds Sammy into it. It keeps Gunther into it.
Yeah.
The other thing I think they could have done also was milked Nick Aldis being GM a little longer, like let him fight to get that back.
Yeah.
Instead of just going, okay, you had a match with Gunther last night.
Nick match. I would have loved to see
it. But I just think it was, I just didn't like the, okay, you had a match last night with Gunther. You lost. Okay, now you're back to being GM.
Yeah.
It was kind of like.
Well, did you see the interview that Hunter did with him?
Yeah.
With the reason why, hey, you stood up for your being a man, blah, blah, blah. I love that. I like that. So I'm going to reinstate because there was a reason behind it. But yeah, I would like to see it go a little longer too.
I think he should have, I don't know, maybe went and asked for it or.
Here, this tells you that you can't miss a WWE pay-per-view because you always want something to happen and you never know when it's going to happen. Did you see the girl crying because Kevin came back?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole screen was just her face and she was just in tears. It's so cool. I'm so glad they kept it such a secret and not let anybody know because now you know. You can't miss a
no, you can't. Which even a show, you can't miss Raw or SmackDown.
You never know what they're
going to do. No, there's always something. 100%. There's always something going on. And then did you see the end of Raw?
I did not.
With Rey Mysterio and Roman?
No.
So Raw's like going off the air, like done. Roman's leaving the ring, and Rey Mysterio is standing there, like they're in gorilla. And Rey looks at him and goes, "Hey, you know I'm." This is great. Rey Mysterio looks at Roman Reigns and says, "Hey, you know I'm the GM of AAA, right?" And Roman looks down at him and goes, "Well, I do now." As if he didn't know. And he goes, "Well, I have a proposition for you." And they walk off camera, and you don't know what it is. So now it comes out what it is Rey Mysterio's doing a luchador tournament in AAA, and whoever wins will get a title shot against Roman when Raw is in Mexico.
Really?
Yes. Penta. Penta's not going to win because I don't think Roman's dropping the belt until he works Oba, and I think that's not going to happen until WrestleMania.
Wow.
I think they can stretch it out. So the winner of the Luchador tournament in AAA gets a shot at Roman when Raw is in Mexico.
When is that?
I'm not sure.
In the next couple months, safe to say.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Raw in Mexico.
That would be pretty cool. The one thing I didn't like, and I'm sure you may agree with
September.
It. Oh, so soon.
September 14th.
So soon.
Yeah, here it says the highlight of the night will feature Roman Reigns defending the World Heavyweight Championship in the main event. Yeah, so I don't know when this tournament is, but.
Oh, so it's about a month away. Month and a week.
Hold on. So the tournament will be at Triple Mania 34, which takes place at the same venue on Sunday, September 13th. So the tournament's the day before.
Oh, wow. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Not that the guy has much time to rest. The biggest thing I didn't like about the whole weekend for SummerSlam was the way that WWE is booking Dom Mysterio. He is the AAA. He's one of their champions. But they're booking him like a sideshow. I understand the whole Danhausen. I like it. I think it's being overdone.
I have an answer for you with that, but go ahead.
It's being a little bit overdone now, but he's the new, you know, he's the new sideshow. And with the kids and stuff like that, I just don't like the way Dom has the most heat and stuff like that. And then Sunday, people didn't give a shit.
So here's my answer to that. Dom is us.
Okay.
When we got to WWE and they had us doing all this weird hokey stuff, we're losing, we're winning, we're heels one night, we're babies the next night, then we're heels, then we're babies, nuts. And then we're wrestling the Oddities and then the Outlaws the next day for the tag titles and on a pay-per-view. Yeah. And we went to Cornette and we were like, what the hell's going on? What are they doing? And Cornette's answer was, you're over. No matter what they do with you, you will continue to be over. So just run with it and enjoy it and don't question it. Dom is us. He's so over, it doesn't matter what they do with him. He will constantly be over.
Yeah.
He's going to be over. Whether he's acting as a heel, he's going to get heat.
Yeah.
If he ever switches to a baby face, he's going to be one of the biggest baby faces the company has. Yep. They just have too many baby faces now to let him do that.
Right.
He is so over, it doesn't fucking matter what they do with him. He's still going to be over.
He's still going to have that heat.
He's still going to have the heat. He's going
to
be over.
And I did notice he did not go with the AAA belt to the ring like he normally does. I wonder if he forgot it at home.
I doubt that. It wasn't WrestleMania. It was SummerSlam. he's so over that I don't think it matters what they do with him. He'll continue to be over. Okay, but I'll tell you what. JD beat the hell out of those minis.
Oh, my God.
His choke slam, his throwing them into the barriers.
Holy shit.
And you know where those guys are from?
Where?
The Micromania Wrestling. Really? Not Micro Wrestling that I go to. The Micromania in Vegas that I went and watched when I was there.
The one was really good.
They were all good.
The one was really, really good. Yeah. I heard the one was Brad Williams, the comedian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that I don't know.
Yeah, I think he was one of the ones that just rolled out of the ring.
He was just doing it just because he's a huge wrestling fan.
Yes, which I thought was cool that they let him do it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I think Dom's so over, it doesn't matter. That's my opinion. It doesn't matter.
I would just like to see him do more meaningful things.
Which I think is coming. I just think they need someone for Danhausen to work, and that just worked perfectly in with everything they were doing.
The human monies.
Yeah. You know, I just think it all just kind of fit in to the storyline.
I'm going
to
sell money with Danhausen's face on it called Danhausen Money.
Yes.
And sell it to
everything's people. House something housing. We'd be head housing. Banghausen.
Banghausen. What was funny is his van that he had handing out ice cream and shit like that was his big face on the front of it. I thought it was comical. Yeah. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me, the last one would be just my girls. I love Fatal Influence. I love to.
I like that too.
Them getting over.
That whole entire thing. I like that. I like their side of the match.
Lainey's bump and feed was money.
Yes.
That was money with the bump and feed on the comeback. The three of them are so good. They're so good together. Yeah. And the future with them is just going to be.
They flow huge. Really well together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's all I had for highlights. So coming up stuff, we have August 16th, Creative Pro Wrestling at the Knights of Columbus in Lynbrook, New York.
Right.
Yep. There's a convention during the day. We're not at the convention. Nope. But so for those of you that don't know, Creative Pro Wrestling is Brian Myers' school, his little organization.
Who we've worked with before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been there, so it's CAP.
Yeah,
is what they call it. But there's a convention during the day, which I think Carino's there, Rhino's there, Brian Myers will be there.
Yep.
I can't remember who else will be there off the top of my head. And then Monday the 17th, we're doing the virtual with K&S WrestleFest. I don't know if that's on Facebook or whatnot now. I think
it might be on both.
Yeah, so either way, look up K&S WrestleFest on Facebook, and we'll be there Monday. I think it's around noonish. We go on. And then August 20th.
Oh, Wildwoods.
We're back at the Wildwoods Convention Center.
Back by popular demand.
In Wildwood, New Jersey.
Yes.
Here's what I'm excited about, and I haven't told you this. So we're working, remember the opening match or second match with Marcus and his dad? Do you remember that?
No.
Okay, so the second match was Marcus Mathers, and he wrestled his dad.
Okay.
So we're working him, and we're working Aaron Rourke. They're both WWE ID guys.
Oh, cool.
And both of them I've worked with at the PC.
Oh, that's easy.
So Tommy said, remember we were texting about who?
Yeah.
And Tommy texted me back and I said, hey, let's work with this one because we're working with the other one, you know, down the road.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, Marcus, you know, mentioned wanting to work with you guys. I was like, oh my God, that would be amazing. I'm like, find him a tag partner then. Yes, 100%. I want to work with Marcus.
Yeah.
And when he said Aaron Rourke, so Aaron Rourke was the former Evolve champion.
Okay.
So that'll be fun to work them.
Yeah.
So when I'm at the PC to work week before and I see them, I'll be like, hey, buckle up, boys. It's going to be a bumpy ride next week.
It's not going to be what you used to.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. Yeah. And then all else I got is chasmatch.com to book us on stuff. Go there.
We also have at the end of the month, JCW.
The Return of the Headbangers. Well, I figured we'd do a podcast before then, but
yeah, we could keep that.
Yeah, that's in Michigan. I looked that up. That's not the Gathering.
It's not.
It's not the Gathering's the week before. Yeah. So it's in Saginaw, Michigan or something. The show we're doing the 20th. I saw the 29th, but I didn't see the 30th.
I didn't see the 30th.
But either way, Juggalo Championship Wrestling, yes, August 29th and 30th.
We've been there before.
Oh, yeah. We've done quite a few matches for them. So chasmatch.com to get exclusive merch and to book us. And then I have my new venture of livefortunate.com right here.
It's a mindset.
It's a mindset. And if that's it, then do whatever makes your heart happy. Just don't suck at it. See you next time. Peace out.